From now until the end of December, tune in to Premier Christmas Radio and experience the hope, peace, love and joy that only the sounds of Christmas can bring. Enjoy hours of Christmas music, classic carols and festive favourites. Listen now on the Premier Plus app or your smart speaker. Premier Christmas Radio, the real sound of Christmas, in association with Open Doors.
Lucas on Life.
Hello, welcome to Lucas on Life. You're listening to Premier Christian Radio. I'm Jeff Lucas, and if you hadn't noticed, it's just happened. Did you miss it? Friday, the 29th of November, Black Friday. Squeezed in America between Thanksgiving, the time to give thanks, and Christmas, the time to give gifts. Yes, it's Black Friday, a time to grab what you can at knockdown prices. At least, that's what the advertising promises. Black Friday was first introduced to the UK in the year 2000 by online retailer Amazon, and then in 2013, Asda, owned by the US retail giant Walmart, bought Black Friday sales into its stores. And let's face it, it's had quite a dodgy history, this celebration of grabbing the bargains. In Greater Manchester alone, some years ago, police were called out to 7 different Tesco stores. Amid the chaos, a woman was injured by a falling television and 3 men were charged, 2 with assault and 1 with a public order offence. Officers were also called out to Tesco stores in London, including Edmonton, Willesden and Surrey Quays. Some people would say that all of the grabbing and the chaos is something of a thing of the past. One current and 2 former Walmart employees reported that stores in recent years aren't bracing for chaos for Black Friday. If anything, they're expecting foot traffic to not be much busier than any other holiday weekend. But what doesn't change is our human capacity for greed. It was Oliver Twist who famously pleaded, "Please, sir, I want some more." Now, he was a painfully deprived child in a workhouse. Our want more culture generally is not so deprived, but we can still be fooled into thinking that more is better as we quite literally eat and drink and shop ourselves to death. And then we turn to Scripture and we see what God is like and how we are called to be like him. That most famous scripture, John 3:16, sums up the character of God the giver. "For God so loved the world that he gave." He gave his only begotten son. And hey, as followers of Jesus, we're called to become just like him. We're talking Black Friday, giving and grabbing, and frankly, I don't really understand it. Meanness is ugly, grabbing is unattractive, and yet the annual shopping bonanza, ironically the day after Thanksgiving in the US, a day for being grateful for all that we have, inevitably triggers greed-fueled, shopping-frenzied scuffles and scrums across the Western world. As I said earlier, some say that it's actually fading somewhat, mainly because of online shopping. But historically, in the US especially, determined ninja shoppers jumped lines and elbowed and shoved and even punched each other in their relentless pursuit of a bargain. The unreformed spirit of Ebenezer Scrooge is alive and well. We don't have to be penny pinchers to qualify as being stingy. We only need to insist that most of our pennies and pounds are spent on us. In that novel, The Christmas Carol, Dickens painted Scrooge, the wizened old skinflint, as a squeezing, wrenching, grasping, scraping, clutching, covetous old sinner. It was hardly a handsome portrait, but we don't have to literally wrestle with fellow shoppers to qualify as ungenerous. We're all familiar with that awkward dance around the issue of who pays the bill when we go out with friends for dinner. Or perhaps, being honest, we're the ones who dash for the loos the second the bill is brought to the table. Perhaps we have friends who always promise to get the next one, but never remembers to do that. Or perhaps our Christian friends are the very last people to offer to buy a round in the pub, instead choosing to nurse the bottom inch of a pint for a further hour. We can even attempt to veneer our meanness by making a virtue of it, insisting that we're just being thrifty, when in fact, we're just being a bit tight. All of this sometimes masterminded meanness not only takes a lot of effort, but actually robs us of the joy of giving. Recently, a sociological survey featured in the book The Paradox of Generosity revealed that generosity is very good for us, and not in some silly TV evangelist, give and God will make you rich kind of way. Research suggests that the more generous we are, the more happiness, health, and purpose in life we enjoy. Generosity not only blesses others, but brings joy to our own hearts too. And more importantly, generosity has the ability to change the world. The early church profoundly impacted their culture with their generous lifestyles, even though most of them were poor. In their day, generosity was not widely valued. Roman society embraced a system called liberates. Put simply, the code went like this: you scratch my back and I'll scratch yours. It was a rather tidy arrangement unless you were poor and just had nothing to give. Widows and orphans found themselves stranded at the bottom of the social and economic food chain. But, in beautiful contrast, the early followers of Jesus gave their service, their money, their goods, their time, their safety, their creature comforts, and their reputations with a generosity that was not just a series of isolated, unusual actions, but generosity as a way of life. Those early Christians scattered good everywhere, freely and indiscriminately. They looked for sweaty feet to wash and went even further. When terrible plagues hit and huge swathes of the population fled the cities, abandoning the sick, it was the Christians who often stayed behind, nursing the ill back to life, which meant that some of the carers died in the process of such outrageous and stunning giving. It's been said that we're most like God when we give. Those early believers didn't just share words and ideas about God, but showed a confused world what the giving God looks like. He's obviously a fictional character, but the Scrooge that I mentioned earlier, he changed. Dickens described the transformation. Some people laughed to see this alteration in him, but he let them laugh and little heeded them. His own heart laughed, and that was quite enough for him. So, this Black Friday season, I want to challenge us, me included. Let's choose to live generously and not just with our stuff. Give that stretch of tarmac to the bullish driver who rudely cuts in during the rush hour, or offer the rare gift of listening. Or maybe instead of fuming over the man who stands in the five items only queue in the supermarket with eight items in his basket, let's just smile and wish him a pleasant day. Let's not just believe in generosity, but think, plan, and act. Too many of us can practice post-dated generosity. One day we'll get around to giving, but we mistakenly think that until we do, believing in the idea of giving is enough. It isn't. If we're honest enough to admit a tendency to be tight, let's know that we too, we can change. This Black Friday season, we're talking about giving, generosity, and that's not just about money. We can serve. Traveling is stressful these days. First of all, if we're flying, one is required to actually go to an airport. While these places are smattered with gleaming duty-free shops, with luxury goods targeted at people who really don't need the discount, the fact is this. Airports are places that people actually don't want to be in unless they are either plane spotters who wear bicycle clips in bed, sorry if you're a plane spotter, or they're excited 10-year-olds. I am neither, and I realise that an airport is somewhere where nobody actually wants to go to. People are only there because they want to go to be somewhere else. Airports are emotional black holes crammed with people who are either waiting and bored, late and panicked, or are waiting on standby to catch another flight because they missed theirs, which means they're bored and panicked. And then there's the security line, where one has to navigate the basic assumption that you're up to no good. There are quite a few jolly security operatives who man the conveyor belts leading into those X-ray scanners, but many more are stony-faced, giving the impression that if you actually leave a bottle of water in your bag, then you are worthy of a lifetime of imprisonment. And then there's the nightmare that is baggage reclaim. Travelling with a large group recently, Kay and I got through to the baggage carousel first and decided that it would be helpful to the rest of our gaggle of travellers, there were 45 of us, if we hauled all their bags off of the conveyor belt. This would make things easier. It was then that a case of mistaken identity happened. A little English lady, not a part of our group, approached me, demanding in loud tones that I remove her bags from the belt and load her trolley with them. I immediately wanted to tell her that I was not, in fact, an airport employee, but decided it would be a bit churlish. What was so wrong about helping this somewhat fragile-looking lady with her bag? So what if she thought that I was a Heathrow porter? It was then that my resolve to serve, to give, was severely tested. Apparently, I didn't load her bag onto the trolley in the manner in which it should be loaded, and she told me so. No, not like that, please. I want it flat, flat. She tutted and huffed and puffed at me and didn't say thank you and didn't seem appreciative in the slightest. It's been said that the only way to find out if you've got a servant heart is to see how you react when people treat you like a servant. Up and down the UK, people will turn up at churches and do what they do every weekend. They will give. They will serve. They'll put the kettle on, hand out the hymn books, wash up the teacups, and shake hands with visitors. The vast majority of this wonderful army are unpaid, and many of them are unsung. Perhaps you're one of them, and at the end of a busy Sunday, you're feeling not only a bit exhausted, but there's a lack of appreciation and gratitude that's left you feeling a bit used. If you find yourself among their ranks, then please accept this, the tiniest expression of thanks that is unworthy of your sacrifice. Thank you for being a giver of time, of treasure, of talent. Keep up the good work. And congratulations on being qualified for the description that Jesus, the greatest giver of all, that he celebrated, servant. As we've been thinking in this Black Friday season about giving and generosity, for me and for my wife Kay, this is also a season of moving. Here in Colorado, we've sold our house and we're downsizing, we're moving to another place about 20 miles from here. And here's what I've discovered. Stuff is sticky. We've been giving some things away, but also selling some furniture as well. And just yesterday, I had the strange experience of feeling grief and remorse as a kitchen table went out of our door, the purchase of a nearby neighbor. I loved that table. For 18 years, I've been sitting at it for breakfast, and now, as it went away, I felt like I needed to do some kind of breakup speech. You know, it's not you, it's me. I'm so sorry. And now, as I stare at the empty space, I realize that stuff that we accumulate is sticky. We can become irrationally attached to it. In this season of getting and grabbing, let's be different. Let's give. And let's remember that stuff is not the stuff of life. See you next week.
Lucas on Life.